with believing hearts. May your Spirit give us understanding. May you grant us courage to live out that which you call us to do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you are acquainted with track and field? It's all kinds of events, right? But one of the events that I find most fascinating is relay races. Now, how many of you know how relay races work? Not all of you. Well, the thing about relay races is that you have usually four runners. Let's say it's a 4x100 meter. So each runner's going to run 100 meters, and they're going to pass something to each other at a particular time until finally the last one runs to the finish line. Now, the important thing about this whole activity is that which they have is called a baton. Now, a baton is just some kind of real light metal aluminum that's just literally rolled up. What happens is the person who's first heading off in the race gets a good hold of it and begins running as fast as they can. And when they finally get to where the second one is, they need to be able to pass this baton out to them safely within a limited period of time, limited space. And if for some reason it gets dropped, they're disqualified. Doesn't matter whether they're in the lead or not. They must pass the baton carefully. Now, in order for that to happen, one, the person who has the baton needs to hold it in such a way as there leaves an end for the other to take. They need to hold it, but not too tightly, to eventually lose it themselves. But at some point, they need to either reach it back like this and let somebody else come from behind and grab it. And then they run with it until they get to the next person. They reach it up, and that person grabs it and runs until they get to the last person who takes it and grabs it. Passes through the finish line. That is a relay race. It's an exciting thing to watch. You see it at the Olympic or collegiate level where you've got four very fast men or women running one after another trying to complete this turn. It's truly remarkable. And more than you would imagine, there are times when somebody loses track at the time and it falls to the ground. And you can hear a collective gasp by all their fans and by the team themselves. They see that their chance to win any kind of medal is gone. So passing the baton is a very, very important thing to do if you want to be successful in relay races. Now, you should be asking a question that's really fascinating here, but what does that do to the church? Well, you know, in some respects, pastors are runners in the race with the people of God who have a baton with them in which they receive the one before them and then begin to hopefully pass it on to the one that's to follow them so that there's continuity that continues to move forward and nothing is lost in the context. Well, this is played out in our story today. In the Old Testament, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the history of humankind, and his protege, Elisha, were in company one with another, and Elijah was heading to his last trip, his last tour. And when he finished that, he was going to be taken up into heaven and no longer be with Elijah or anyone else anymore. Elijah understood that. He kept pretty close track of Elijah and just wouldn't leave Elijah's. But it wasn't just the sense that somebody might misplace Elijah. Elisha was concerned because he wanted to make sure he learned everything he can from the one before so that when he assumed that responsibility, he would have what he needed to perform the duties that were being called upon him. Now, being a prophet for the people of God is not a very delightful thing to do. Most people don't appreciate you telling them too clearly what it is they may need to do and what they shouldn't be doing. And Elijah had a great experience of having to say some really difficult things to the people of God along their journey in a time together. But he knew his time was leaving, and he knew he needed to pass it on to someone else. And he here referenced not to a baton in Scripture, he here referenced to mantle. His mantle. His mantle was kind of cloak around him. It was a symbol of his authority, much like in some ways a robe is a symbol of authority for a pastor. And it's something that you get placed on you when you begin service, is something that you take off when you're done with service. And this mantle needs to be passed on to the one that follows. And it looked most likely it was going to be Elisha. Now, Elijah knew it was a huge responsibility and was a little bit frightened about the whole notion of having to take on this responsibility. And so eventually, as they began journeying, Elijah kept telling Elijah, stay behind. No, wherever you go, I go. Okay, they follow each other. Again, you can say, you know, he's going to be taken from you. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm still going to follow him. Shows his sense of duty, a sense of honoring Elijah, what Elijah had done, but also a heavy responsibility knowing what might lie ahead. Eventually, it gets to the point where Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want from me? You obviously want something from me because you're following me very, very closely. You're not giving up on anything without distraction. And he saw it like a double portion of your spirit. So that's a weighty thing. Because Elijah was filled with God's spirit, with God's truth, but now he needed to have a portion of it. He said, well, you get it if you see me leave. Now, we're not going to draw this comparison too far here, because pastors don't pass on mantles to one another, nor are we taken up in a whirlwind in the sky. It's important for the person to come to see us as we go. But in this context, it speaks to the sense of what it means to pass on leadership one from another. It's a passing on of leadership. I've already witnessed that in a sense in this church, because when I came, it was 1st of December. You'd already elected your officers, and you were yet needing to install them. They were going to start the 1st of the year, and so there was helping them pass things on one from another. Sometimes they're files, electronic paper. Sometimes it's conversation. Sometimes it's material. But whatever it is, those going out of office, because they have some concern for things continuing in a good way, wanted to make sure the person following them could kind of be handed the baton, the mantle of authority, and continue to serve in that important way. You should be pleased with the kind of baton passing that's taking place by the leaders in this church for you. Trustees, deacons, elders, continue to demonstrate what it is feel important enough to make sure if you're going to pick up responsibilities, they need to understand what I was about. And I hope you can carry it through. Use your own gifts, your own skills, what God wants to do with you at this time in that role. There's even some crazy people, one elder in particular, who really felt the need to say, well, I know I'm supposed to rotate after these three crazy years, but I'm going to be willing to go on for another year. That's the sense of commitment that you have from your officers. They deeply care about you. They even care about the responsibilities. They even care about the future. And so they're willing to put in the time to do what's necessary. And like I said, there's a group of people who've been in this role for three crazy years. You know, and they still kind of, most times, have a smile on their face. I'm looking around at many of them. But I guarantee you there are those people whose names I won't mention, like Dallas and John, who are going to rotate off session, who are saying, how much until January 1st? When do I get to do this? As much as they are committed to it, they know that they need to let go of it and let somebody take hold of it. And they're trying to do the best they can to get ready. I pray for them as they try to let go, because it's really hard sometimes to let go and trust. Because guess what? Nobody's going to do it like you did. No matter how hard you try, nobody's going to do that. But you hope they understand enough from your counsel, your wisdom, your sharing, about what is important, what is valuable, and they get a sense of what it is that they need at least to be about to further continue to work and make sure they share with others. Now, I also see this in the course of committees and organizations within this church. I've seen you pay particular attention to what is it that the next person needs to know that I need to give them? That's an important passing of a baton, a passing of a mantle, a passing of responsibility. Do not take it lightly. It's very important for continuity. You know, for someone like me who's an interim, I've been installed too, but as an interim, you spend a period of time, and then you're going to take your leave. And you are very concerned, just as much as all the officers are, of the next person comes, and do they have what they need to have a good start, and can I pass things on to them? And so I've spent a great deal of the last month or so doing that particular thing. Particularly, last week, having a conversation with Catherine Redmond in particular, where we could just sit down face to face and I could show her things and talk about things. And then say to her, I have absolute trust in what God's called you to come to do. And so you're going to do it your own way, and I'm fine with that. I just want you to know what the important stuff is, and to know what it is you need to be responsible for. Pay close attention to those in which you serve. There's a company of wisdom in this room. You know that. You've experienced it. There are those who've been officers in this church, and there's those who will be officers in this church. But it's a glorious thing in which to have that chance to have an opportunity to serve in an important way. It is an honorable thing to serve the work of the Lord. Now, that doesn't just pertain to all those who are officers and those who serve on staff. It also pertains to all those members. Now, there's one person really not happy about this at all. I agree, you know? It's a difficult time. But you are important. It is your continuity. It is your regular presence. It is your participation. It is your giving of your time, your talent, your treasures, your heart and soul to this church as it attempts to bear witness to the community in which you live. We have a world out there who desperately needs to hear more about love than hate, to see more respect than disrespect, to speak kindly and lovingly towards others and not calling people names and talking and denigrating them. We've got in our culture this incredible place in which we really don't know how to behave well. And frankly, as a parent who's even though my children are 29 and 31, I'm embarrassed by the behavior of people in our culture. How they choose to speak to one another and behave with one another. But you know, I can't change everyone else, but I can do something about who I am and how I behave. And so I can choose the higher course. I can choose to talk kindly. I can treat people with respect. I can pass on responsibilities. I can entrust things to others. I can pray for them. So can you. That's really important for you to understand. There's not a person in this room that's not essential to the life and ministry of this church. Not one of you. No matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been a member, how short you've been a member. Whether you're even a member of this church, you are here. God's called you here today to hear this word, to be reminded that you have responsibilities in the life and ministry of this church, to further the witness, to share the mercy and grace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a world who needs to hear it, who needs to see it by what you do. You have been witnesses. For over 200 years, you've been witnesses in this community to God who loves us in Jesus Christ. And I continue to charge you to do that very thing. But understand, there are times in your ministry, there's times in your life where you need to pass the baton on. Which means if you're going to let somebody else get a hold of it, what do you have to do? You have to let go of it. Grabbing hold and letting go are equally important. And I invite you to figure out what that is for you and whatever it is you're doing. I say a special word of thanks to two staff people in particular, Ann Pan and Lynn Davis, for the fact that we have journeyed day by day with one another in our ministry. And we've talked a lot about the future and what needs to happen. And these are very responsible, dedicated people, which I hope you appreciate and you say thanks to. They're going to continue to be with you like all of you are going to be here. And you need to support one another, encourage one another in what it is God is trying to lay before you. The PNC is going to be prayerfully and thoughtfully trying to discern what is the kind of leader they need. And they're going to ask you to chip in some notions of what you need. Together with God's help, God's Spirit, you will discover. I think your future's bright. I'm very excited for you. It's interesting. I hear a lot of things about this. Now I've had the great pleasure to help people understand differently. Many people see you as a country club, a clique. I've not experienced that in any way, shape, or form the whole time I've been here. I've not seen that. Well, I see some pride. I see some great pride in the heritage in which all the years in which you've been, this beautiful setting, the ministry you've been about, and that's a grateful thing. You should celebrate that. That's a great thing. But I think there's an openness and a willingness here to hear from other people, to invite them in, to share in that responsibility. You can always get better at it. It's important to make sure that if you see someone here today you do not know, it's appropriate to say that, I don't know if I have met you or I know you, but my name is Daryl. I'm glad you're here. It's amazing how many churches in America you can come into, spend a service of worship, and no one even says anything to you. And they say, like every church in America, we are a welcoming family church. Now, you've got to demonstrate that every week, every time you get an opportunity. You can all talk to your close friends soon. But you want to first look to those you don't know, and maybe get a chance to get to know them. And I invite you to do that. This church can do a better job of doing that, like all churches do. Sometimes people say, well, gee, you know, it's just a small church. You're all leaders in your own world, aren't you? In your own circumstances. Where you teach, where you work, where you go to school, where you fellowship, where you shop. These are all places in which you have been engaged regularly by offering your gifts and talents as a disciple of Christ. When you're out in that world, you are a Christian, not just when you're in this space. As the joke goes, you know, for those who may not come frequently to church, just coming to church isn't it. It's what you do when you leave church that makes a difference. You know, just because I spend a lot of time in a garage doesn't mean I'm going to become a car. In order to be a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to find out what that means to be, and then you need to demonstrate it in your life. And the reason for worship is to be reminded of that. The reason for study is to continue to study what it is God wants us to be about. Fellowship will encourage us to do that. And mission is everything we do beyond these doors. I invite you to continue to share in the ministry which God has before you. God will supply you leadership. And you will continue. And some of you will come and go. That's the way it works. In some ways, as I've said before, all of us are interested. How many of you have been here since the church started? See? Case in point. We're all here for a time. And whatever time it is, God wants to make full use of our skills and abilities to share God's good news and to live it out in practice. And I challenge and invite you to do that very thing. But when you pass the baton, remember how to do it. Do it carefully. When you hand it up,
thank you. believe in God.